Him.
Amen. And so I'm going to get in today's message. And today the title for the message that I'm speaking is called Stuck in the Courtyard with God. Stuck in the Courtyard with God. And man, we had kind of been, and the Lord is kind of keeping me on this same theme of him maturing his body, him maturing believers, amen. And you know, if you realize what maturity is regardless of what adversity you face, you have a confidence and a joy in God that he's going to bring you through each and everything, trial, tribulation, anything that you would face. There's a confidence and a strength there that he's going to bring you through it. Amen. That's what maturity is. It doesn't matter what's going on. You know who's got the, you know who has you. You know who's going to bring the results. You can trust him. But sometimes we can face adversity or different things for a long period of time, or things will happen in our life that we had never imagined before. Amen. And it can throw us off our game. It can destroy our confidence. And so one thing I've come to realize, regardless of what you and I might face, the Lord wants us to be confident and even joyful in him day in and day out. And so I want to talk about Jeremiah today. If there's anybody in the Bible that I wouldn't want to be, it'd be Jeremiah. I mean, Jeremiah was there during a time where in Israel where basically they had become so backslidden that they didn't even know the difference between right and wrong at all. They had the temple, but they were worshiping other gods within the temple. They were a mixture of worshiping God, but they were worshiping the Baals and had all kinds of idolatry in their life and didn't even realize it. And so even as Jeremiah was prophesying that the Babylonian army would siege Jerusalem and Israel and they would be carried off, the people there were scoffing at him and said, "Nah, it's not going to happen." Even as the Babylonians were coming towards them, they said, "No, they're going to turn around. They're not going to take this city." And so even as he began to prophesy these things and they began to persecute Jeremiah greatly. So I want to read a few things and talk about Jeremiah today. Is that okay? Amen. Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah 32, 2 and 3 says this. Now at that time, the army of the king of Babylon, who was that? That was Nebuchadnezzar, right? Was besieging Jerusalem. So that he was doing this, besieging and surrounding Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard, or of the king, which was at the house of the king of Judah, because Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him, saying, "Why do you prophesy, saying, 'This is what the Lord says'? Behold, I'm going to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will take it." And so he says, "I don't like what you're prophesying, Jeremiah. So for me to shut you down and shut you up, I'm gonna throw you in prison. I don't want you saying these things. I don't want you warning the people." So he finds himself in this courthouse-type prison. You know, and Jeremiah was stuck in the courtyard of the guard. He was imprisoned because of the word of the Lord that he was given. He was stuck. He really was stuck. And, you know, I want to say this, is sometimes in areas I want to talk about the courtyards that we can get stuck in our own lives. Can I talk about that today? So sometimes I just, these little phrases, you've heard this, people say this, man, I'm stuck in this dead-end job. You ever heard that? I'm stuck in this dead-end job and don't see any way out. I'm stuck here and can't really even afford to make a change. I've heard this, I'm stuck in the Quad City area. I'm stuck here. And I know we live in a beautiful area, but I remember growing up here, because I grew up here as a youngster, that all the talk with my friends is, man, I can't wait till we grow up and get out of here. Who would want to be in Prescott, you know? Who would want to be in Chino or Prescott Valley or Dewey Humboldt? Who would want to be here? We can't wait to leave. We're stuck in this town. You know, there's other more serious things that people can say, and maybe you're there today. I'm stuck in this marriage. I'm stuck in this marriage. This marriage I'm in is not what I had thought it was going to be. Or, man, life is coming at me in this marriage, and man, you don't know who you are. I realize that, and I won't stay here long, but you don't know who you are really until you get married. Yeah. You really don't. Other people might be saying, I'm stuck being single. I'm stuck here, and man, I don't want to be here, or whatever. I'm stuck here. I'm stuck at school. You know, you may be in junior high or high school, and it feels like you're going to be stuck in school forever. I'm stuck in school. I'm stuck here. Other things, I'm stuck in a financial struggle I just can't seem to get out of. You know, I have heart's desires that I'm longing for, but I'm afraid they will never come about. And I'm confined in my own courtyard of longing for some things. I'm stuck in this thing of things, desires, and things God placed in my heart that I want so dearly. And I feel like I might be confined in this courtyard. I'm afraid that the things I'm longing for my heart. I'm afraid that the scriptures in Psalms 37 that say that he give us the longings of our heart. I'm afraid that's not going to come about for me. The courtyard of longing. You know, you might be stuck in a struggle of your own making, and now you're paying the price for a lifetime or a portion of your lifetime making wrong decisions. They call that the courtyard of regrets. The courtyard of regret. And sometimes, I don't care who you are, there's certain little areas of your life, it's a courtyard that you're in that you wish you weren't, that you wish the scenery would change at least. You see, that's where Jeremiah found himself. And for Jeremiah's case, he hadn't done anything wrong except to prophesy the word of the Lord that the God had given him. And he found himself in this courtyard, being stuck there in jail, imprisoned in the courtyard. And he could not get out. But, you know, I want to talk today about the power of being stuck. The power of being stuck. Jeremiah was stuck. Because why he was stuck, and we read about him and the purpose of where he was at, the word of the Lord came to him. And I'm telling you, the word of the Lord wants to come to each and every one of us in every area of our lives. Thank the Lord Jesus that he wants to speak to you personally if you know him as your personal Savior. Man, he wants to speak to you in areas that you might find yourself being stuck in. We all have some of those areas, believe me. We all have. And so Jeremiah, let's read this. You know this beautiful scripture, but the Lord showed me in the context of where Jeremiah was when the word of the Lord came to him. Jeremiah 33, 1-3 says this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. And the first time, if you go to the chapter before, he was stuck in this courtyard, and God said, I want you to buy a piece of land. From his nephew or from his cousin. And he's thinking, Lord, why do you want me to do that? You've told me that the Babylonians are taking over here, and you want me to buy this piece of land. So that in the context, the Lord had spoke to him saying, even though you're in this courtyard, I want you to buy this piece of land. And so he was going on. Even though things looked rough in society, the Lord was showing him, do what you're doing still. I want you to buy this land, buy and sell. Keep active in your job and your business, whatever's going on. Doesn't matter what things look like. We still have to be about the Father's business. Amen. We still got to be about taking care of our families. Amen. And so Jeremiah 33, 1-3 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, saying, this is what the Lord says. So the Lord speaking to him, the Lord says, he who made the earth, we agree with that. Amen. The Lord who formed it and he created it. Hallelujah. He whose name is, who is the Lord. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not No. And so in the context here, he's in this courtyard that he doesn't want to be in. Man, wouldn't it have been nice if the Lord had said to him, hey, you're going to be out of this situation tomorrow, Jeremiah. What you're struggling with right now, that's going to end tomorrow. And God could have said that. And we know he doesn't stay there for the remainder of his life for sure. But that's not the point. It's just that in this scenario, in this situation, in his life, the Lord God spoke to him and said, hey, you are confined, or there's problems in this area, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to call out to me. There's things I want to show you. I want to reveal to you right there in the courtyard. And so many times the things going on in our lives, we get such focused on that situation and the hardship or whatever we might be facing in that courtyard that I believe the Lord could be saying, hey, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But people are so in their mind say, man, and when I get out of this courtyard, when I get out of this situation in my life, my job, whatever the struggle is, when I get out of this thing, then everything will be okay. But the Lord is saying, while you're in that courtyard, call unto me and I will answer you. Here's a promise of God. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Did you know that statement, that scripture, we read it all the time, but it is for you and I today. It wasn't just for Jeremiah. It's a promise of God because it's actually talking about the new covenant. We'll see. It's talking about the new covenant, the things that God wants to reveal to us right there in your situation. Isn't God good? So God always wants to speak, and he can speak the loudest during adversities, during the things that the struggles are in. Man, that's when God wants to do so much of the time the most speaking in our lives. Did you know that? Number one point here, God wants to speak during those adversities. He said, He says, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Man, Lord, he could have said, Lord, yeah, just wait until you get me out of this courtyard. Then speak to me. I'm really kind of stuck on what's going on around me. Or could you change the scenery first before you speak to me? Lord, I'm in this situation of not of my own even. And he said, Lord, what did I do except follow you and serve you and walk with you? And I find myself in this courtyard because you told me to say, thus saith the Lord, and prophesy, and here I am. But God didn't, what God was saying there is, is he in that situation where he was at? He's saying, cry out to me. I'm learning even through many of the difficult things that God's speaking to me about maturity. And this thing is in my life is, hey, I even during things that are going on, man, I want to speak to you louder than I've ever spoke to you before. And I don't want you to just focus on changing every bit of your scenery, amen. But there's something inside that I'm trying to shift and change in you. You know, sometimes, you know, if you've been around people, say, man, once I get out of this town, things are going to be okay. Only problem is, you know, when you leave the town you're in, you go with yourself. You take yourself with you. You know, I understand sometimes God can make a change of scenery, but oftentimes it's nothing about the scenery, about what God's trying to speak to us, what he's trying to do within us, the maturity He's trying to bring about. And so when he says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things, and we can get some wild-eyed ideas what that might mean, huh? Meaning that the heavens will open up and I'll see all these angelic things or whatever, and God can do that. But it's not even that, because he's already talking about the mighty things that were kept hidden. Colossians 1. Let's talk about what God was talking about when he was talking to Jeremiah. He said, call unto me and answer me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Colossians 1:26, it says this, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. The mystery of the gospel and all it pertains to was hidden during this time. Jeremiah never understood it quite. He would have prophecies about the coming Christ. He would have prophecies about God living in us. He would prophesy these things about the mystery, but he had no idea what it was talking about. So when the Lord was saying, cry unto me, Jeremiah, because I'm going to prophesy through you things that are going to come after the branch of David, Jesus Christ, shows up and breaks the power of sin permanently over this world to those that want to accept my love. He's talking about those type of mysteries. See, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Any Gentiles here? Same thing as an Irish. So if you're Irish, you're Gentile, just if you're confused. The Gentiles are, says, so to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery. What is it? Which is Christ in you. Wow. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Him who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, Paul says, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me, God. See what he was talking about there? He says, what's this mystery? It's Christ in you. So what was he prophesying as he was there in that courtyard, jailed in by a struggle, something that was could lead to torment, something that could lead to depression, something that could lead to say, man, I'm never going to get out of the situation. What was he saying? Man, here's the mystery for you and I. The first and foremost, wherever you find yourself, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The power of God residing in you, regardless of the situation you find yourself in. The first thing we need to realize as we're maturing in him is God's power resides in me. That was the mystery that was hidden for so many generations that Paul says has been revealed by my gospel now, that the Gentiles share in the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus Christ lives in you. Everything you need, all the power, the glory, the strength, is all coming within you by the Holy Spirit, regardless of what courtyard you find yourself living in. The hope of glory is in you. Hallelujah. And once we start realizing and growing in that courtyard situation where you're at, in that scenario of your life will change. But let me tell you this, that God is trying to change you, maybe right where you're at. Right where you're at. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. Jeremiah, call out to me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. So much of revelation and God personally wanting to reveal himself to you and I. Did you know that? Not just at Sunday morning with the pastor here, and of course that's part of God speaking to you and I, can be through teachers, but man, it goes so much further than that. Amen. So much more. Anywhere we're at, whatever situation we're at, God say, man, I've got things I want to show you. I got things I want to reveal to you. Will you turn your focus to me in that situation? In that courtyard where you find yourself, will you turn to me and allow me to show you wonderful things? Will you allow me to tell you what salvation means, all the things that salvation means, not just your ticket out of heaven, but all the blessings and the things that God wants to do within us? Amen. We are children of Abraham. Can I show you what I can do through you if you'll get your eyes off that courtyard and put them on to me and cry out to me? Only Jesus can truly satisfy. That song, I think I'll probably butcher it, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And only he can take your life and make you whole. And then I forgot the rest of it. It's a beautiful song. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Amen. I've spent times when I was younger trying to navigate, you know, how can I put myself in just perfect situations? Job, monies, relationship, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? How can I set myself up to walk in such perfect joy, perfect peace? How can I live that American dream, that fairy tale life? Well, that what I see on Instagram, those people that are on Instagram, influencers, I think they call them. These pictures of influencers you can see on Instagram. You know what I'm talking about? You're all looking at me like, what's Instagram? Some of you might be. I heard of it. All those things on social media where it looks like everybody's courtyard is just perfect. Everybody's scenarios in their life is perfect. Then you'll hear about some of these people taking their lives or being completely addicted and realizing that the courtyard that they made, they wanted you and I to see, was all a facade. See, God's not asking us to build any facades. He's asking for you and I to be real. You know what I mean? We can be real with one another. You know, that we can pray. We can tell other people, hey, I need prayer. Can I get prayer in this situation? We could, you know, that we could be vulnerable to one another in the body of Christ. And because the world has to have those facades, right? Fake it till you make it. Remember, you've got all the answers now, even though you don't. You've got to pretend like you do have all the answers. We see those things in social media in the world where they've got to everything has to look put together perfect, but it is all a facade. There's no lasting joy unless the mystery of Jesus Christ has been revealed in you by His Holy Spirit, by His love for you, as He'll reveal who He is, His love for you, His love for those around you, as He changes you from the inside out. This is what I've come to realize. I'm not so interested of the courtyard I find myself in. That I'm interested in then, Lord, as I'm walking through these things, thank you for joy, peace, strength. Lord, help me for maturing me right where I'm at. Oh, He's a good, good Father. The mystery of Christ in you. See, God wants to reveal the power of that salvation, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His fulfilling your every inner desire of what's lacking in. It's just Him. He made us to have fellowship with Him. Amen. Close fellowship with Him. Oh, man, that to understand how much He loves us in spite of our own struggles. Amen. In spite of what type of courtyard we find ourselves in, He shows up right where we are at if we'll just cry out to Him. Thinking of the guy that was blind, and then he's crying out to Jesus, Son of David. In his own courtyard of complete blindness. And what did Jeremiah say? The Lord said to him, cry out unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things. And the blind man, Barbanus, what's his name? Yep. Crying out to the Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus in His courtyard, people saying, shh, crying out all the more, crying out to the Lord. You know, certain times when I find myself in those things that are uncomfortable, or how do I get here, or why am I still here, I'm learning just to cry out to Him. He's the only one that can change. He's the only one that can truly fulfill us. He's the only one that can allow us to see things like He sees them. Right where we're at. And then God can change the scenery of that courtyard that you're in. He did for him. He did for him. You know, the power of understanding adversity builds godly character. Can I say that? The power of understanding adversity builds godly character. Those who have overcome adversity and struggles produce strong character, can be entrusted with much in the natural. I mean, if we can't be entrusted with much in the natural, what I've come to realize too, we can't really be entrusted much with much in spiritual things. If we can't handle natural things, how do we handle spiritual things? Amen? Learning character, that the thing that's still the most important thing and used to be the most important thing, I believe, in the United States was strong character. Men and women of truth, men and women of honor, amen? Men and women you could trust, those with character. And the thing is, only those things, adversities, those things, those courtyards that we go through produce that character. You know, I think of somebody who got everything instantly and he didn't have the maturity to handle it, was someone like Mike Tyson. I mean, by 20 years old, he's like a world champion. He's got all this money. He's saying there's not a man that can take me in the world. And so all of a sudden he's instantly has all this fame and money and everything, but he didn't have the maturity or the character to handle it. You know, that I know this through my own life and what God's been revealing to me as he's in my life and walking with him and maturing in him is I know God has for me and my family. But I hear the Lord saying, do you have the maturity for me to bless you in that way? Do you have the maturity? See, we think sometimes God is withholding things from us, but man, he's maturing our character. He's growing us. Amen. He wants us in courtyards that are uncomfortable, us crying out to him, growing in him, and he can change that scenery instantly. He can change that marriage. He can bless that marriage. He can heal that marriage. Amen. He can be your joy in any circumstances you find yourself in. Amen. But it starts out by crying out to him, say, Lord, thank you. Show me your ways. Teach me your path. Reveal yourself to me. It is wonderful as to cry out to the Lord, have him show you things that go beyond your capabilities. It's not about, well, this is what I do. I witness to people, or this is my job. This is what I do. It's wonderful in your secret place that God speaks to you and shows you wonderful things about your salvation, the mystery of the gospel. He wants to continue to reveal those things to us that bring lasting joy and strength and character. Character. You still out there? Amen. Amen. Let's continue here. Amen. And so God wants to reveal the power of his salvation. That mystery in the Greek means it's a secret, a hidden purpose or counsel, the gospel. The power of understanding adversity builds godly character. God wants to reveal the power, amen, his power. God wants, number one was God wants to speak during adversities. Number two, take action. Take action. This is what I realized. This is the thing. Be a giver in your situation. Be a giver. We're talking about sowing and reaping. Sometimes people won't help others, or when they're in struggles or in certain things in their life, they'll just turn into survival mode. You ever been there? When I was younger, one thing that I've come to realize with immaturity in Christ is when we're facing adversity, we just kind of cocoon ourselves and we go into survival mode, and we don't even think about sowing and reaping in many different aspects. Anybody ever been there? I have. Glad I don't live there anymore. It's called maturing in him. So take action. I'm going to have a scripture that might seem a little bit funny to use for this, but felt like the Lord wanted me to use it, so I'm going to go ahead with it. Hebrews 13:3 says this. It's going to be 3, 4, and then 5, Bill. At first it says, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Man, when you're in circumstances or struggles, man, make sure one of the powerful things that you can do to grow in the Lord and to change your mindset in the courtyard you're in your life is to help others, to reach out to others, encourage others, give to others. Amen. So it's called sowing. We sow the words that we say, encouraging, that's sowing those seeds. The word of God, those are seeds, things that we're saying. So even in those struggles, encourage others. Remember, there's other people that might be in a courtyard that's even a lot worse than yours in an area of their lives. Be willing to encourage others right where you are at. It is powerful if we will take our eyes off our situation and start looking to others, helping them out. The power of encouragement, man, changes people's lives. And so it would seem like you might be sitting there saying, man, I need somebody to encourage me. Man, I tell you, if you'll turn that around and you'll start encouraging others regardless of how you feel, I guarantee you God will make sure that you be getting encouraged, whether by other people or by his Holy Spirit or his word. We'll talk about those things. You see, we live in a world, but the kingdom of God is about sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 talks about sowing and reaping. Everything that we do, I can look at a marriage and it'll be as good as the sowing and reaping. Some of us have been married a while, yeah? So yeah, yep. You wanna dampen the fire of a marriage, start sowing the wrong things. Discord. Anger, abuse. putting people down, the spouse. You want to kill a marriage quickly, sowing and reaping the things that you say and do it quick. You'll find out quickly. So how do we change that? By sowing differently. Sowing the things of God. Sowing blessing. Sowing encouragement. Sowing good things. The truths of God's word. Encouraging people. That will change your marriage. You ever notice when you get married that a lot of times you marry the opposite person of you? Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. I think it's designed. It is designed that way. And then what will happen, we start out loving those things that are different than us. And then we get married. And then all of a sudden, those things that are different than us, we look at them as complete weaknesses and we start picking at them. We start sowing things, bad things, the words we say. And it starts producing, it starts growing, and it produces a crop of resentment and anger. And those things that made us at one time, made us powerful together, start driving a married couple apart. Sowing and reaping is so monumental in the Christian faith. You can say that the same thing as even in monies, you know, giving a, let's see if I have something there. I'll get to there in a second regarding that. But so being encouraged to others, get your mind off your own situation. It is powerful. Remember, you're in the kingdom of God. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're in the kingdom of God. You belong to Him. So what should be our desire? To put kingdom principles into action. Amen? If you're not used to that, if you're just used to being selfish in areas, we all can be there. Encouraging others when you're used to feeling sorry for yourself all the time is not easy. It's not easy. Another thing, if you want to break out of feeling sorry for yourself, start encouraging and blessing others. You'll get out of that. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? It said this, number four. So number one is sowing the things that we say, encouraging others in their own courtyard, whatever they're going through. The next scripture, four, says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. You say, what are we using there? Is when you're in areas of our lives, that courtyard, an area of your life that you don't know what you're doing there, and you're discouraged. A lot of times, is in immaturity in our lives, is we'll sow things to the flesh for comfort. You know what I'm saying? Things, the works of the flesh, sins of the flesh. A lot of people do those things because it brings a temporary comfort to their lives. People that get bound up into pornography, they're looking for comfort in their lives. People that got to work 20 hours a day are looking for comfort in their lives. Amen. The problem is you can't find any comfort when you're sowing into the flesh. What it is about maturing is you begin to sow things into the spirit man. So as you realize, saying these things that I'm sowing in the flesh are bringing misery in my life. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, amen, he's there letting you know this is bringing misery in your life. It says not to grieve the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed. And so sometimes when we're in these areas of our lives, we'll look for things to bring comfort. It can be overeating. It can be overworking. All these different things that we can do. And what the Lord has been speaking to me is start making disciplines in my life that are sowing to the spirit man. Sowing to the spirit man. Right? After all, eating a half gallon of ice cream a day, I'm only speaking to myself. Eventually, you wake up, say, why am I so tired all day long? See, there's things that we can do in the flesh. God loves us so much. We belong to Him. But we have these things that we'll do that we're sowing in the flesh. They don't bring comfort. They do temporarily, but they'll actually end up drying up our soul realm. Because the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit brings life. Romans 8 says, sowing to the flesh, it brings death to our soul. Our leaf, our life, it'll wither. And so the things, the different things that God may speak to our lives, will be saying, man, in this courtyard, I keep going to this thing in my life that's not it's not helping me. It's temporarily helping me. And then afterwards, I'm miserable. I'm hurting. The Lord is saying, you know what? Come, learn to sow to the Spirit. Learn to come to Him and worship. One of the things I've come to realize is, as we discipline ourselves, I love coming into Him and His Word. I love Him showing things to me, my Word. It's like a river of life in me as I open up His Bible, and He'll show me all His mercy, His grace, His strength, who I am in Him through the Spirit man. I'll start sowing in that area, and it starts bringing strength into my inner being. Amen. God will begin to speak in those areas and put these godly disciplines from the inner man, saying, God, show me how to walk these things out. These things that I'm doing, trying to bring comfort in my life, God, that are actually bringing misery. Father, help those things to be broken off my life, and show me how to start sowing into the things of the Spirit, giving Him glory and honor and praise. Amen. It's not an overnight process. There's a sanctification process of dying to self and having the Spirit man run every area of our life. As we grow in Him, this is called maturity. Those things, when we realize it, say, Lord, I don't want to walk on these things anymore. You paid a price for me. I belong to You. As we begin to walk with Him, with the help of His, of other brothers and sisters in Christ, with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, God begins to break those things off our life that we used to have that brought comfort. But God says it's time to let Him go. Doesn't matter what courtyard you find yourself in, time to let those things go. I want to mature you and grow you. I want to reveal you. I want to show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Man, we serve a good, good Father. Jesus, thank You for Your faithfulness. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your anointing in our lives. Amen. Thank You, Father God, that You'd live in us, Father. Thank You, Lord, that we would realize this mystery, the gospel of the power of God that's in this already, that we would understand how wide, how deep Your love is for us, God. Help us to realize the promises that You have for us, God, that we would walk in them, Lord, that we would not look at these courtyards that we're in, but we would call out to You, Lord. We thank You for showing us great and mighty things which we do not know. So much of sins of the flesh, works of the flesh, is people trying to find comfort in their soul, but it actually brings torment. Learn to allow God's grace, His unmerited favor, to bring comfort through things of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with Him through His Word. Amen. Fellowship with the Father through prayer. And fellowship with others. You know, sometimes what I've come to realize is fellowshipping with others, man, it brings a joy to my heart. Brings a strength to me. It's fun. It gets me out of isolation. People get to know the real me. People get to know the real you. Iron sharpens iron. Part of that maturity is with one another. Amen. Fellowship with Him through the Word. Through fellowship with the Father through prayer. Amen. Those things of the flesh and allowing the Spirit man to control your life. And don't allow yourself to become bitter towards God and others in any type of courtyard you might find yourself in. Don't get bitter. Begin to worship Him and praise Him and exalt Him. And then the next one, the last one it says here, it says in the last point is verse 5 of Hebrews 13. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One thing I've been learning is training my life to be content in Him while in different courtyards or things going on in my life. I'm pursuing Him. I'm learning not to love this world quite like I used to. Everything is shifting and shaking. I mean, I can see it, man. And the only thing solid is Jesus Christ. He is a solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. Amen. You know, train yourself to be content with Him. You know, it's interesting. I had this job. I was a loan officer. And this guy I worked with, great guy, but he had packages coming all the time. And I was like, man, where do you have time to... Or I didn't even know about online shopping. Many people did, but it just wasn't anything to me. Nothing wrong with that. But he'd have all these packages coming, and so I'd razz him, say, hey, where do you find time to work, man? All these, I said, does your wife know all these packages? Why are these packages coming to the office? How come you not have them delivered at home, right? And then COVID came, and I found the power of online shopping. Well, yeah, so we can't go anywhere, so we got to work in the yard, we got to do this, we got to do that, so we might as well order it online. And, you know, they don't want you going to the store, so let's buy, you know, some tennis shoes. And one thing I'm realizing, and this isn't a condemnation or anything, but just an observation in my own life, as in the day and the age that you and I live in, as I found out about the power of online shopping, that sometimes there be little things going on in my life, little areas where all of a sudden I'm not feeling fulfilled. I find myself going online to buy something. And I realize that, Lord, when anytime I feel any type of little dissatisfaction in my life, I find myself going this other direction now. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with online shopping. I'm just saying in society today, whether it be with entertainment, shopping, whatever it is, all the things you have access to online, that we can find ourselves, instead of sometimes pursuing Him, crying out, cry out to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know it's not. I find myself just doing things for my flesh, just little things, just keep adding up, right? Keep adding up. And the Lord says, hey, what about me? I'm the only one that can satisfy. Now, does God bless her financially? Yeah, I think God is looking for people He can trust financially to bless, that won't turn money into an absolute idol in their lives. God loves to bless His people. But let me just say this, as the Lord speaks to me, He say, man, spend some time with me, some spiritual discipline. See, we look at those disciplines and say, yuck. But when you sow into the Spirit, man, it brings life. When you're sowing into the things of the Word of God and taking in His Word, worshiping Him, praising Him, exalting Him, man, my spirit, man, starts absorbing these things that only He can do to satisfy. Amen. When I start encouraging others, man, and speaking life into others, man, there's something that happens inside of me that begins to be encouraged, where those other things that I keep itching at my soul, so I keep feeding them, but they never bring satisfaction. Amen. Then one day I opened my garage and said, I can't even park my car in here. It's full of Amazon stuff. Is that a true statement? And we say, I'll just have a garage sale and I'll start over. Man, what are we going to do if something happens in our economy where things slow down? What if some things were dried up in the economy, where it forces us to make some decisions that we couldn't make before? I'm serious. What China just says, we're not sending any more stuff to you, America. All the different countries. What if some of those things started drying up, and it had nothing to do with just? And it had nothing to do with this, saying God saying, that's my hand, because I want to get people's attention. I'm the only thing that can satisfy. I'm the only thing that can bring lasting peace. I am the only thing that can heal a marriage. I'm the only person that can bring you a godly spouse. I'm the only one that can bring your heart's desire. But whatever you're at, do this. He's saying, cry out to me. Let me show you my ways and teach you my paths. Let me speak to you about your life. He loves us. He's a good, good father. See, a good father trains his children, doesn't he? Let's allow the Lord God to train our lives, to speak to us. And do I have times where I'm like, I just fight it? Yeah, I have to admit a lot. I ignored it, you know. I don't hear that. Sometimes the Lord has been speaking us in areas for so long that we don't hear it anymore. What it's time to do is tune our ear. Say, Lord, I hear that. I'm yours to command. My life belongs to you. You paid the ultimate price. As Gina, the piano player, comes. Can we stand up together? I don't know what courtyard in your life, some areas where it's uncomfortable, or you've been there a long time, or you think, Lord, if only this situation has changed. I'm not saying he can't change it. What I'm saying is what he said to Jeremiah, which he's saying to you and I, cry out to me. Let me read that again. Let's read that again before we close. Amen. Let's read that together. Amen. Thank you. Jeremiah 33:1-3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, saying, this is what the Lord says. This is what I believe the Lord is saying to. He's saying to me, I believe he's saying it to his church. I think sometimes we're not careful. We can just preach this gospel. It's all about how can we get into ease. Make everything comfortable for me. But what if we're living in a day and age right now in this country where things are no longer going to be comfortable? What if things are going to be shaken so that what cannot be shaken can remain? Amen. So I want to be ahead of the curve. I want to say, Lord, I want to be ahead of the curve. I hear your voice now. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I'm crying out to you, Lord, saying, Lord, show me great and mighty things because that I don't know. It's called a revelation of who he is. It's a revelation of his love. It's a revelation of his grace. It's a revelation of his mercy. It's a revelation of his power. It's a revelation of who he is inside of me. That's the mystery that he wants to reveal. Let me read that again. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, saying, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to create it, he whose name is the Lord, call to me and I will answer you. There's the promise. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Thank you for showing us great and mighty things, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to know you in a greater way. Reveal your goodness to us. Reveal your anointing in our lives, Father God. Reveal, Father, breaking every fetter and chain. Sometimes there's fetters and chains that you're wishing would be broken off your life. But if you just realized who he is already in you, how much he loves you, what he gave for you, how precious you are in his sight, those things would break off. If you realize your identity is that you're his child, amen, he loves you. He gave his life for you. He's washed your past away. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions, if you would realize he's not mad at you, some of those things would break off. You're trying to find comfort because you think God is still upset with you. You've got to allow the truth of God to break that off your life and say, I am his child. I've been blood bought. I am precious in his sight. If you'd realize who you are in him, some of this stuff would already break off. And this is how we do. So, Lord, I choose to believe. Cry out to him and say, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your path. Show me your goodness. Show me how much you love me, Father. When you realize your identity in him, much of these things will break off. And so with that, Father, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth of the gospel setting captives free. Father, we thank you. I thank you for anointing this word of truth, Father God. I thank you for a word for such a time as this, Father God. I thank you for hearts that are crying out, saying, Lord, speak to me afresh and anew, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to everybody that knows you, not just pastors, not just Sunday school teachers, not just this person or that person, but little old me. He wants to speak to you. You, right where you're at, you got to cry out and say, Lord, show me your ways, teach me your paths, reveal wonderful things to me. And so, Father, with that, we thank you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your presence. When we when we dismiss, if you need prayer, please come up. If you want to come just up to the altar and pray. But I thank God for what He's doing in this hour, in His day, in His body. I hear His voice. Let me ask, do you hear His voice today? Do you hear what He's wanting? He's wanting to grow closer to each individual, amen? And the body together as a group, amen? That He's wanting to reveal His goodness to me. Man, I've only had one vision in my life, and that vision was a field, and it was college students. And they were all standing about 6 foot apart from one another. I said, Lord, what is that? They don't seem like they're closer. They're in union. And God said, no, that's not the point of what I'm showing you. Those 6 feet apart is showing that each one of those kids knows me personally. They have their own relationship with me. I'm speaking to them. I'm showing them things. Man, I already hear about, even though we hear this nut stuff going on in these college campuses, I also see where God is moving by His power. Yes, yes. Saving kids, amen, coming to the truth, amen, filling them with the Holy Spirit, and they're hearing His voice. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Continue to do that, Father God, in every sector of society. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen, hallelujah. Have a wonderful Monday. We love you, Father. Amen.